The death toll from the cholera epidemic in Haiti has surpassed 900 now. This comes just 10 months after an earthquake devastated the Caribbean country. The rumors that UN peacekeepers are to blame for the cholera outbreak led to several protests today. Political leaders are trying to dispel the myths about cholera and educate Haitians on sanitation. Doctors are arriving from around the world to treat the patients. One group of doctors from Maine is treating patients in Haiti's northern Limbe Valley. Reporter Beth Macy of the Roanoke Times has witnessed scenes both heroic and heartbreaking.
Last night, a 7-year-old boy was brought in by his dad at 4 in the morning, and the resident on call from the Maine group, her name is Lalaine Lanto, she was here, and the boy was unresponsive, and she said to the dad, you know, why didn't you bring him in earlier? And, you know, he just didn't know. The thing about the cholera is that it hits people so fast, and the boy was completely dehydrated, and by the time he got to Lalaine, he was, you know, in having death rattle. She got 2 IVs into him, and then he basically took a couple breaths and passed away.
So given the pressure on the system, how are they able to keep ahead of the cholera epidemic, and how many doctors are there on the ground working there at the hospital?
Well, the main doctors, there's 5 of them, and the doctors on the staff, I think there's 9, but they're about to lose 4. They were community volunteers. When the doctors got here, you know, these are American doctors used to having the best equipment, and they're having to borrow tape to tape the IVs in. They're reusing, when they take the IVs out, they were using the same tape as Band-Aids on the stick wounds. They're reusing gauze, even needles in a few cases, because, you know, these people were going to die if they didn't get IV fluids into them.
So some of the doctors who are there are from Maine, and they're part of this organization that comes in every so often to help the patients in Haiti. And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about them and one of the faculty members who's actually born in Zimbabwe,
right,
and she's with you there right now.
She's with me right now. Dr. Chiedza Jaconia, she's sitting here in the courtyard.
Yeah, yes. Could we speak with her for a moment?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot.
Hi,
Dr. Jaconia. This is Lisa Mullins. Thanks a lot for talking with us. For you and what you need to do the job, do you have the proper amount of IV equipment? Do you have the proper amount of pharmaceuticals?
The way they have it set up here is that IV fluids are all free. I think the patients may have to buy their cannulas if they need antibiotics, if they need anything for vomiting. That's what the patients will buy themselves.
Anything for vomiting, meaning their own bags or bowls?
Yeah. As far as when you come in, you have to bring in everything. They have to bring in little potties, you know, for toileting. They have to bring sheets, their blankets. Nothing at all is provided. Everything has to come from home. So all we provide is the medical care, the medicine, the things to clean themselves with. Everything has to come from the family.
It sounds like you are facing so many frustrations there. I also know you happen to go there twice a year. How do you keep going against odds like those?
I think part of it is the Haitian people, despite all of the terrible things that happen to them, and it's one thing after another, there's this positive spirit. You just keep going. People aren't depressed. You just get on with life and you do the best you can. People take a lot of pride in the way they look. They will dress up to come to the hospital, you know, as poor as they are. I think what they have left is pride, and it's just beautiful to see. And they're very appreciative of everything that we do for them. And I personally, and I think the teams of docs that I bring down here, really feel that we get a lot more out than anything we give, just from working with the communities here.
Dr. Jaconia, I wonder if you can put Beth Macy on the line just for a minute to say goodbye, and thank you very much for talking with us. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. And just, if you know, if we can just get the message out here, they really do need help.
All right, thank you. I wonder if I can speak to Beth for a minute.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Lisa. I would just reiterate what she said about the spirit of the people here. I mean, an hour doesn't pass that you don't hear people singing. And there was a church service going on next door, and the people who were sick underneath the shelter could hear them singing at church, and they started singing along. And last night, in this quiet moment, under the same shelter, you know, people were humming and singing, and it's just amazing, the spirit of the people, and everyone says merci to the doctors. You know, they kiss their hands. They're just so grateful for any help that they can have, and it's just, I know it's been a really hard experience, but I know the doctors are really getting a lot out of it.
Beth Macy, thank you for all of that. Beth Macy, reporter for the Roanoke Times, speaking to us from the Limbe Valley in Haiti. And also, thank you very much to Dr. Chiedza Jokonia, who is volunteering her time as a physician at the hospital there, the Hospital Bon Samaritan. Thank you very much, Beth Macy.
Thanks, Lisa. It was our pleasure.